So we're in this 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and last week we had the first of this series of parables that Jesus presents. Next week we'll have an additional three of these parables. For your information, all the background photos today are taken along the way, the Camino between Pamplona and Burgos, where James and I walked over 10 days. So these parables first provoke this question, well, what is a parable? Now, for most of the history of the church, we've often thought of parables first at their literal level, but mainly as an allegory, this sense of this encoded teaching that could then be decoded into Christian lessons or Christian imagery. And so an allegory was often used by the fathers of the church to come up with these fantastic explanations and psychological analogies and comparisons that provide all kinds of insights into the Christian life, which is okay at one level, but in the 19th century, scholars began to realize that simply treating parables in this sense, where it's open to all kinds of different interpretations, doesn't really get us very far. It doesn't take us to the heart of what the parable originally was intending by Jesus to provide for us, which is something different. Parables begin in the familiar world of the believer. So the imagery is all just drawn from ordinary life. So fields and crops and yeast and trees that are growing. All of these ordinary circumstances and situations that when you're walking, as we were doing, through these fields and through agricultural areas, that's just the natural, the normal things that you're familiar with. But then there's a twist. Then they present a different vision of the world, challenging the ordinary expectations of the hearer. And it's this twist that is the key to understanding a parable. This sense of something that is just that little bit strange, a little bit odd about it. And the parables probably existed separately or independently long before there were any attempts to explain them. So as we have the explanations we had last week in the Jesus providing the illustrations of what was happening with the farmer who was going out to sow in the different kinds of fields, the different kinds of areas along the way. And so also today we're given this interpretation by Jesus about the first of the three parables and an explanation of who the different characters are in this. So the main focus, it seems, along all three of the parables today is about this sense of waiting and patience. Things that I don't think any of us are particularly good at doing. You know, when we're stuck in a queue, when we're just waiting in traffic, and having driven a fair bit in Spain last week, I can certainly appreciate the calmness, even though it's horrible, but the calmness of Australian traffic is really quite wonderful. You know that it's predictable. You know what most drivers are going to be doing and that you're not going to fit trying five or six cars into this kind of... Although we did have a very fun trip in a taxi driving through Barcelona on Wednesday evening. The taxi driver was just amazing. Crazy as anything, but just amazing. But anyway, patience is something that the Lord wants us to experience. Yes, he said, you know, they could just go in and weed out all of the dharma. Yes, we could get rid of all of the bad people in the world, you know, all of those evil people, or more naturally, we could look at those areas in our own lives, those areas of sin, those areas of temptation, those areas where we know we haven't experienced that freedom, and we could just yank it all out and rip it all out. But the Lord says, no, we need to learn the lesson, we need to be patient, we need to sit with that. And sometimes we can feel that this is just a cop-out. Sometimes we can think, well, surely God can do this. Surely God can act to bring freedom, to bring peace, to restore things the way that he originally intended them to be. Well, in fact, of course, he has done that. So God has already acted in the death and resurrection of Jesus. He did decisively act. So the patience that we're invited to have with ourselves and with others in the midst of all of this as we continue to grow together is the patience of someone who has begun to see the dawn. We know that the dawn has happened and that the sun will rise, that this new light of the day will begin to illuminate the whole of the world. But we need to wait until that happens. We need to just to sit in the midst of that semi-darkness, waiting for the dawn, waiting for that new life and the new hope that the Lord is offering to us. And part of the reason that we're doing the Alpha program during this year, and we'll continue next year, is this sense of really waiting upon the Lord, being formed and shaped and guided by what God is continuing to do in His church, which is this call to patiently experience this new life and to allow God to invite us continually into that experience